I don't want to. We've probably all seen children throwing temper tantrums in a store and telling their parents, no, no. Have you ever seen that? Maybe you've experienced that before. I remember one time, specifically as a child, coming home and trying to throw a temper tantrum. I don't know if I'd seen someone do it and I was going to try it out and see how it worked or what. I found out how it worked in my household. It didn't work very well. I specifically remember as a little child walking into the living room and throwing myself on the floor and kicking my legs. And as my mother gave me something to kick about, I learned that that was unacceptable behavior. But I've observed, as we all have, we've seen children conduct themselves in ways that they're throwing their fit, and I've heard people say, oh, they're so cute. Have you seen people do that when these little children? Do you know what may look a little cute in a little child gets ugly real fast? And as parents, then, our responsibility is to raise our children and teach our children at a very young age to be in submission to authority. There was a day, and I don't remember this one, I grew up hearing about this one, that my father had me out in the van or the vehicle during a service or right before a service, and he was administering some discipline. And Brother Austis Wilson walked by, and he said, well, Brother Clifford, he said, I see you're having a little battle of the wills. And my dad said, Brother Austis, he said, there's no doubt in my mind who's going to come out on top. Well, I've laughed with my dad about that one over the years. But as parents, there's a great responsibility we have, and it starts when our children are so little. Even to the age, parents have something that God gave them to know when their little children are big enough to know what they're doing. And others may look on and say, oh, they're too little. Don't discipline them. Don't correct them. Just, you know, that's the grandma, grandpa thing coming out. But God gave children to moms and dads, not grandmas and grandpas. And I think there's a reason for that, because I know there were times at little, very young age, a parent knows when they know exactly what they're doing, and they're doing it to be defiant. Well, I don't want to. When a little child tells their parents, I don't want to, it means that there's a battle of the wills. It means that there's a place of conflict. But what I found in life is it doesn't stop with little children thinking, I don't want to. Because as we grow older, do you know there are things in life that I don't want to? We still have some I don't want to's in life. But what do you think life would really be like? And this is for all of us this morning. If we didn't do anything that we didn't want to do, how would life change? And young people and children, maybe it would be easier for us to ask the parents this, but Brother Randy, Sister Tammy, is there anything, would your life be a lot different if you didn't do anything you didn't want to do? Friendships, would it be different? Brother and sister, you know, life is composed of doing things we don't want to do in the flesh. Our life is full of things we don't want to do. Every day when you get up, for the men that have work to go do, do you know that there's probably quite a few days that maybe you just really don't want to? Stephen, is that so? I don't want to, but we do it anyway. Life is full. In children, we, as parents, we need to teach our children this, but life is full of doing things that I don't want to. But I'm going to do it anyway because I need to do it. There's a place of responsibility. A lot of work wouldn't get done. Well, sisters, children, young people, I don't want to do the laundry. You can only not want to do the laundry and not do it for so long, and pretty soon you're not going to have any towels to use in the morning, you're not in the evening, you're not going to have any clean clothes to wear, because I don't want to. And I think about a story that some of you may have heard, but If all of us actually went home in Monday, we all said, we're not going to do anything that we just don't really want to do. Young people, children, what do you think life would be like if mom said, I'm not going to do anything that I don't want to do? You know, I don't think it would take very long before you say, Mom, please, I'm hungry. Well, I don't want to cook today. Don't feel like it. I'd rather read a book and eat bonbons. I don't want to do laundry. I don't want to clean the house. I don't want to go out and do the things. I don't want to go shopping. I don't want to do that. Pretty soon there'd be no food left in the cupboards. There'd be no one to cook them. The point is this. Life is full of doing things we don't want to do. Life is so much more pleasant for all of us when we do the things that we don't want to do and we do it with a smile because we recognize the importance of doing those things. We can go and do those things that we don't want to do and we can complain about it, we can murmur about it, we can whine about it, but how much better is life when we recognize that there's things maybe I don't want at the top of my list, but it needs to be done, so I'm going to do it, as we heard, with thanksgiving. I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. I'm going to be pleasant about it because it needs to be done. Do you know what makes life so much better for yourself as well as the people that you live with and the people that you work with? Because if someone's at work and they're just complaining about everything they do, after a while, you just, would you please just stop? You may not say it, but you think it. Because it makes it miserable for everybody. But if we can recognize in life, there are some I don't want to's, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing it. So Lord, help us. There are, you know, life is made up of the things, many things I don't really want to do. But I've been given and you've been given some responsibility. As children and young people, there are things that are a part of life that maybe you don't want to, but there's a place of submitting to the authority that God has placed over you, that you do it whether you want to or not. And that's what it is when my father said, Brother Austin said, it looks like there's a battle of the wills, and my dad made the statement, there's no doubt in my mind who's going to come out on top. What he was saying is, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord in my responsibility as a father to be sure that my little boy does what I tell him to do. And I didn't always want to do what he said to do. And I found that it was better to submit. Do you know that young and old alike, all of us have areas in our life that we need to learn to submit to those in authority over us? And ultimately, we need to submit to the Lord in the things that I say, I don't want to. There's a place of submission to authority in those areas that I don't want to. Now, over in the book of Matthew, we read a very moving story about a young man that seemed to be so sincere in his walk with God and his love for the Lord, seemingly. In the 19th chapter of Matthew, in the 16th verse, it said, Behold, one came unto him, unto Jesus, saying, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus went on to say, Keep the commandments. And the young man said, What commandments? You know, what is it I need to do? I want to have eternal life. What do I need to do? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, folks, there are some of those things that maybe this young man didn't always want to do, but he did them. Honoring our father and our mother, do you know that as a child, I didn't maybe always want to honor my mother and father? But do you know disobedience is dishonor? And if I as a child dishonored my father and mother through disobedience, ultimately I was dishonoring God himself. So every time I spoke, I'll tell you there's one thing my father would not tolerate in our home, and that was any form or fashion of disrespect to my mother. Because that was his wife. So as children, as young people, we didn't either. when we were older. But as little children, there were some lessons that had to be learned. You know, just even I remember asking my mother if I could do something one time, and she said no. So, okay, I couldn't do it. But then, shortly thereafter, like a day or two later, I asked my dad. And he said, oh, yeah, that's probably fine. And I guess I looked over at my mom with the wrong kind of look, and my dad saw it. I didn't do what he had just told me I could do. In other words, you be respectful. You honor them. But ultimately, any time we dishonor our parents, we are dishonoring God himself. Because the scripture says to honor your mother and father. That means to be respectful of them. That means to obey them. And it really doesn't matter whether I want to or not. I have a responsibility to honor my father and my mother. And ultimately, I'm pleasing God when I do that. If I dishonor my father and mother, I'm dishonoring God himself because they're in a position of authority over me. So the young man said, I've kept these commandments. He said, I have done these things from my youth up. And Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Remember what the young man did? Said the young man heard the saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. You know, I feel sorry for that young man. I feel bad because it's like this was a good young man. This was not someone that was openly defiant. Now, sometimes when people say, I don't want to, there is an open spirit of rebellion and defiance because I don't want to do it. And they get ugly with it. We see it in little children, I've seen it in young people, and I've seen it in grown men and women, and they get ugly. I don't want to. It's rebellious. It's a wrong attitude. But this young man here did not have that open rebellion. But there was something that was still true. He still didn't want to do what Jesus said. He cried about it. He was sorrowful, he felt bad, but he still went away. And do you know, ultimately this morning, whether someone is openly defiant or feels sorrowful about it, if they don't want to and they're not obedient, they are in rebellion to God. And so this young man went away. At the end of the day, folks, they're both disobedience, isn't it? So if there are things, and this is the crux, and I was in prayer Monday, I think it was Monday morning, I was in prayer and the Lord began to give me this message. But at the end of the day, if we are not obedient to the Lord because things that I don't want to, folks, that's rebellion. Whether I feel bad about it or not, say, oh, I want to do what's right, Lord. But the question is, am I doing what's right? Well, I don't feel like doing the dishes today. But you get in there and roll up your sleeves and do the dishes anyway because it needs to be done. The Lord does not ask us to do anything that's not good for us. Anything that God has required of us in His Word, do you know there are things in the Bible that you might look at and in the flesh, you say, I don't want to do that. Do you know that we all have areas in life that we might in the flesh say, I don't want to do that? But as we submit ourselves to God's authority, we will begin to recognize that, you know what, God told this for a reason, and it's good for us, and because of that, I do want to do it. In the flesh, I don't. But I do want to do it in my spirit because I know it's good for me, and I know it's right for me. Well, there is one man, I just wrote down a quote, something I had read. Said obedience is the practical acceptance of the authority and will of God. Now, obedience is the practical acceptance of the authority and will of God. It includes both submitting to Him and then expressing that submission in actions, words, and thoughts. To be obedient is to be in agreement with God. And to be in agreement with God is to be in a position of power in Christ. In other words, obedience is not just submitting and saying, yes, Lord, I want to do what you want. True obedience is submitting and then letting our words and our actions prove out that obedience and submission. Jesus said, and this went along with Brother Friendship's verse this morning, that Jesus said, if a man love me, in John 14, he will do what? He'll keep my words. If, that was a conditional statement, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. In other words, our love for the Lord this morning is tied very closely to a life of obedience to the Word of God. If my child tells me, I love you, and then defies me, they are lacking in love. If I tell my children to do something and they disobey, it means that there's something that they are putting more emphasis on their own desires and their own wishes, their own selfish desire, more than they are putting on the need to have respect and submission to me as their Father. Okay? So with God, that parallel remains the same. Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to do what I told you to do. Because God is not telling us to do things just because he's the boss. You know, some people say, they just tell people to do things because they're trying to exercise authority. It's like, why are they doing that? They're on a power trip. That's how we term that in today's language. They're on a power trip. Jesus and God are not on a power trip this morning. Everything that they tell us to do, it's for our good. So when we say, well, I don't want to, we need to stop and say, Lord, help me to want to. Change my spirit that, yes, I do things spiritually, saints. There are things that all of us, if we really love the Lord, there are things we do spiritually that we really don't want to in the flesh. Is that right? But we have brought our body under submission to the Lord, that when my flesh doesn't want to, that, Lord, give me the grace that I can do what my spirit knows is right, even if my flesh is crying out. And there is a struggle here. Folks, God is very merciful to us. And I am so thankful for it, because there have been times in, I'm sure, all of our lives that the Lord has called for something in our life. And our first reaction is, I don't want to. Am I alone there? And the Lord is so merciful. And he gives us time. And he comes back and says, I want you to do this. Or I want you to give this up, or this isn't good for you. It's like, I don't want to. And we feel sorrowful about it. It's like, I love you, Lord. I love you, but I don't want to. That's kind of like that young man that came to the Lord. He said, if you want to be perfect, you need to do what I've asked you to do. Well, the Lord gives us time, but do you know that in our struggles, it's going to require a place of submission to God's will and purpose, that we can trust him enough that when I don't want to, that, Lord, I'm going to trust you enough and I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway by your help. You know, this would be the answer to a lot of people's struggles that they have spiritually. If they can learn to submit even when they don't want to do what they know they need to do. So I wrote down in my notes, are there areas of deliberate or subconscious disobedience to God and to those in authority over you? Are there areas of deliberate disobedience that are like, well, I know what God wants, I'm not going to do it, and I'm God. We say that's open defiance, okay? And we can more readily recognize those kinds. But what about the things that the Lord has dealt with us about in our life? Things that the Lord has come on just with his sweet spirit, has shown us that this isn't good for you. Or here's something I want you to do. And our response, yeah, I know what the Lord wants. And we just keep going and we're not doing it. Because I don't want to. Is it okay to share a personal testimony? You know why the Lord started giving me this message? It was more for me than anybody else. The Lord started talking to me about something. You know what my response was? I wrote it on the board. I don't want to. And so, I've been having a little bit of a struggle this week. Little battle. And you know, there's no doubt in my mind who's going to come out on top. The Lord is, by His grace. But it was my response when the Lord started talking to me in my private prayer. It was like, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to. But I knew that I was going to have to get to a place that I could say, Lord, I'll do it because You told me, because You want me to. I know it's best for me. Well, I don't know if anybody else has had any of those struggles, but things that you know God has talked to you about, and you say, I don't want to. I want to encourage you in the I don't want to's to trust the Lord and submit to Him. You children and young people, you are only submitting to God in as much as you are submitting to your parents as well. All right? If you don't submit to your parents and honor your parents, you are not submitting yourself to the Lord either. And it doesn't matter if it's a I don't want to. We are all doing things that we don't want to do. But we do them because it's right. And when we do what is right, with a smile on our face, with thanksgiving, you will find that life is so much better because that's where the blessings of God are. I knew in this thing the Lord was dealing with me about, I knew that I would be better off because of it. I knew it. I know it. But do you know there was still the flesh? There was still my thinking. There was still a little bit of my desire. And I was battling with that. But do you know this morning that we are not alone in that, and we're not going to take the time to turn and read it because you know it. But do you know Christ Himself had some of the I don't want to's? When He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, His prayer was, Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, in other words, God, I really don't want to. But He didn't stop His prayer there. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Jesus did not get up from prayer and go to the cross at that point. Okay? Jesus had to go a little bit further and fall on His face again and pray again. I don't want to. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. He did not get up from prayer and go to the cross. He had to get down a third time and say, Father, if it's possible, but I know Your will, Father. By the third time, you know what the Lord wants. It's, Lord, my flesh just doesn't want to do it. But Father, would You give me the strength and would You give me the grace to do what You want me to do? And I just want to encourage us this morning in our I don't want to's. And in the things that we love the Lord, I believe we love the Lord and we want to please Him. But folks, it's not enough. Until on a daily basis in our lives, we say, nevertheless, Lord. You know, I really don't want to give that up. I don't want to give that up. I don't want to do that. I don't want to. But Lord, nevertheless, I know this is best. Folks, this is a key to spiritual strength. This is a key to building stronger relationships. Children and young people with your parents, this is a place of strengthening relationships. That life is not based on what I want. It's based on doing what I know is right. As children of God, it's the same way. It's not all about, I didn't write the Bible. You didn't write the Bible. So my prayer is, Lord, I really don't want to do that. Lord, give me the grace to do it. Give me the help to submit. I heard someone recently. We're going to conclude here in a few couple moments. heard an older minister quote it. I don't even know who made the statement originally. They said, sometimes we have to just pray that God would help us to be willing to be willing. You know, it's a little bit of a tongue twister, but it's true. Sometimes our willingness is like, I don't want to do it. I'm not willing to do it. And so our first prayers are, Lord, would you help me to be willing to be willing? In other words, Lord, break down this barrier that I would be open to you to begin to be willing to do what you want. And I just want to encourage us in our relationships, our responsibilities, husbands, wives, children, workers, housekeepers, doing your schoolwork, children, young people, it's not all about what you do or don't want to do. It's about doing the right thing for the right reason and submitting to the Lord, and you will find that there's power there. In closing, Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and what? Do you see there's a difference there then? It's like, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do your will. I'm willing. But am I really willing if I'm not obedient? He said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall do what? You shall eat the good of the land. I want to eat more of the good of the land in my personal spiritual life this morning. I want to see the Lord prosper all of you more spiritually as well. I believe this is one of our keys. That it's not about what I don't want to. And if you, it's something to be in prayer and say, I don't want to the Lord. And the Lord began to talk to me as, Lord, help me. Because I know it's right. There's power and there's victory in a place of submission.